Well, today we're in 1 John chapter 2, just these first two verses. It says, "My little children, I'm writing these things to you so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world." And so as we look at this today, the big question when it comes to having a relationship with and fellowship with God of perfection is, how can we, who are sinful, have this intimate relationship with God who is sinless? And the answer to that question could be summed up in one person, and that's Christ, Jesus Christ. You see, when you study those opening verses, you realize that any fellowship that we will ever have with God is determined by our relationship with Jesus Christ. And the only person who's in a position to bridge that relationship between we who are sinners and the God who is holy is Jesus Christ. Now, this principle is true prior to salvation and true after salvation. When we sin, we must face it and deal with it through confession. And it's Christ who is the means for us to gain that cleansing and forgiveness we need. So, right from the get-go, John identifies the target of this writing as, and you'll see that there in that first verse, little children. John does not present this body truth, it presents the family truth to the church. And this Greek word children, technon, is one that refers to a child of either sex who is born or begotten into a family and is being trained by the parents within that family. So when John uses that term, little children, he has in mind those who have been born into the family of God and they're functioning as a family within the church. The words "these things" apply to the entire book. So if we look at that whole letter of John, that's what he's talking about. And we contextually refer to the matters that he's discussed earlier in the chapter before, primarily verses 7 through 10. So there's some things that we need to realize that are not true. No child of God cannot ever say he doesn't sin. There's no point in pursuing a life that fights against sin, and that's a false deduction there. There's another false deduction. It says, since forgiveness of sins is easily attained by confession, there's nothing wrong with the attitude that desires to sin a few more times. He did not write the previous verses to permit, encourage, or promote sin. John did write them so that we would combat sin. Not just habitual, continual sin. He wants to combat every single act of sin. And notice where he's writing this and he's emphasizing it. The more one carefully studies God's written word, the less likely that one will be likely to sin. He states, when any child does sin, that we have an advocate. And aren't you glad we have that? We have that one that we can go to. The if clause there is a clause of probability, not possibility. And the term advocate refers to a close friend of an accused person who comes alongside of that person to speak up in defense of the character and to plead one's case in a sympathetic way. So notice to whom and with whom this advocacy is needed. God the Father. You see, when we sin, we break fellowship with God the Father. And we need a very powerful advocate, and we have one. And that's Jesus Christ, and I love that name afterwards, the righteous. So he states, when any child does sin, we have propitiation. That term propitiation is one that means being the actual means of legal appeasement by satisfying all the demands of the offended party. You see, when we look at the Old Testament, the high priest was the advocate. And the animal sacrifice was the propitiatory means of appeasing the sin. Now, if you look carefully at what is stated here, Jesus Christ is not only the high priest, he is also the sacrifice. And in this Greek, the emphasis on propitiation is on Christ himself, which means him and nobody else. Jesus Christ and Christ alone is the only person who could take care of our sin problem. So he states that in the second part of verse 2, he states that Jesus Christ is the propitiation for the whole world. Now that's powerful. For unless one is willing to accept that one's sin problem can only be resolved by Jesus Christ, the righteous God-man, one cannot have a relationship with God. So, salvation and fellowship and relationship with God is not restricted to one class or group of people. It's open to all through Jesus Christ. And so, he has this, the ramifications are, it's open to those that believe in Jesus. And Jesus Christ is the only means of resolving the sin issue for any and all. So if you want to enter into the deepest relationship that you can ever hope to with God, you must come to terms with your sin and with the fact that Jesus Christ is the only means, the only chance you have of getting rid of your sin. So we cannot tamper with the person and work of Christ. And we do not and will not have a relationship with God if we try to go any other way. There's no religious way. There's no philosophical way. Jesus Christ is the only way. He's the advocate. Jesus Christ, the righteous.